Why Would Someone Forge the Letter of James? By Bart D. Ehrman. Read by John Paul Middlesworth. In my previous three posts, I've argued that the author of the book of James really does want his audience to think he is James, the brother of Jesus, but that in fact he was someone else. In modern parlance, that means the book is a forgery. Ancient Greek did not use the English word forgery, of course, but the terms they used for this kind of book were just as judgmental and even ugly. But why would someone forge this book, claiming to be James, knowing he wasn't? The first thing to notice is to reaffirm one of the first things that we noticed. The book appears to attack a form of Pauline Christianity that stresses the importance of faith alone for salvation. For this author, faith without works is dead. And if someone doesn't live in ways that are beneficial to others and pleasing to God, they cannot be saved, however much faith they claim to have. This is especially seen in what is arguably the most famous passage of the book, James 2:14 through 26, a text that has been much cited since the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther made the unequivocal claim that it contradicts the gospel proclaimed by Paul, and so should have only a secondary standing in the scriptures. The passage has numerous resonances with Paul's writings, especially his descriptions of how a person can be justified, made right with God, only through faith. Both James and Paul consider the relationship between faith and works, and both use the Old Testament figure of Abraham to establish their points. The points they make, however, are different. For Paul, as we have seen, a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. Romans 3:28. For James, however, a person is justified by works, not faith alone. James 2:24. Given their different perspectives, it is especially striking that both Paul and James appeal to Abraham in support of their view. Paul maintains that if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Romans 4:2 and 22. James, on the other hand, argues that our ancestor Abraham was justified by works. 2:21. Yet, more peculiarly, each author claims that Genesis 15:6, quote, Abraham believed in God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, unquote, supports his own interpretation of the relationship of faith and works to justification. Romans 4:1 through 5, Galatians 3:6, and James 2:23. Thus, at least on the surface, it appears that Paul and James are fundamentally at odds with each other. Paul claims that faith in Christ is all one needs to be justified, and James argues that one needs more than faith. Paul rejects works of the law as a prerequisite for justification, and James insists that works are absolutely necessary. So is the author expressly trying to contradict Paul's teaching and attack the apostle to the Gentiles? Many readers have thought so, and still do think so, but most modern scholars have come to think that the differences between James and Paul are only skin deep. That is because they do not appear to mean the same things when they speak about faith and works. If they use the terms in different ways, then they can scarcely be contradicting one another when one of them insists on faith without works and the other on both faith and works. For Paul, faith means a trusting acceptance of Christ's death to put one into a right relationship with God. Only by believing in what he has done can a person be granted salvation, not by keeping the works of the law. That's what works means for Paul. They are the demands made in the Jewish law. That is, aspects of the law that make Jews distinctive as the people of Israel. For example, circumcision, the Sabbath, kosher food laws. When James, on the other hand, speaks of faith in 2:14 through 26, he appears to mean not trusting acceptance, but intellectual assent to a proposition. That is, it's not reliance on Christ so much as thinking the right thing. He points out, for example, that, quote, even the demons believe that God is one and shudder, unquote. James 2:19. Presumably these demons are not committed to this belief, they simply acknowledge it. This kind of intellectual acknowledgement, according to James, cannot justify anyone. Paul, of course, would not disagree. He simply doesn't mean this when he uses the term faith. Moreover, James insists that those who have true faith will do works, by which he appears to mean good deeds, such as feeding the hungry and helping the destitute, 2:14-16. Those who fail to do such works do not have real faith, or, as James himself puts it, their faith is dead, 2:17. Again, when the matter is put this way, Paul would scarcely disagree. He, too, expects believers to behave in certain ways. See Galatians 5:16-26, 1 Corinthians 6:9-12. Paul and James appear, then, to be referring to different things when they speak of faith and works. Yet, surely it cannot be a coincidence that they both address the issue of justification by faith and works, that they both use Abraham as an example to prove their points, and that they both quote Genesis 15:6 on this matter. How then did this come about? We don't know exactly when the book of James was written, but if it was produced sometime late in the first century, it is not difficult to imagine a scenario that could explain its strong case against justification by faith alone. It may have happened like this. Paul himself had insisted that a person was justified by a trusting acceptance of Christ's death, not by works of the law. When Paul passed from the scene, according to this scenario, his words became a kind of catchphrase among his congregations, faith, not works. Some Christians took this to mean that it mattered only what you believed, not what you did. Indeed, some people may have understood Paul this way even while he was alive. See Romans 3:8. Word of this notion got around to an author living in another community who took serious exception to its implications. He wrote a tractate in the name James, often portrayed in our sources as an opponent of Paul, that gave a long series of admonitions to believers, including the admonition to put their faith to work in their lives. Despite what Paul had said, or rather, despite what some people claimed Paul had said, faith needed to be practiced to be genuine. For as Abraham himself showed, quote, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, unquote. Paul's words may thus have taken on a life of their own as they were used in new contexts, gaining a meaning that was independent of what they originally meant when he proclaimed them to his converts. Interestingly, the distortion of Paul's message is explicitly recognized as a problem even within the pages of the New Testament. See 2 Peter 3:16. This author appears to be refuting one such distortion.